if you spend the time trying to educate yourself and you just do the best you can with what you have, you're already doing better than everyone else. Baby step it up and get to that point until it becomes a habit, a formation, part of your functional life. And if you need help from someone, get the guidance.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. Today, we are back with part two of Furthering Your Recovery with Dr. Michelle Eisenman. Last week's episode was all about grace and grit and understanding some things we can do to keep our brain injury recovery on track. Dr. Michelle shared with us the importance of finding the right practitioner last week, and we talked about some tips on how to define your recovery goals. And so today we're actually going to go deeper into how do you find the right practitioner and what do you look for in a practitioner if you're like, hey, I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I need some help. What are some things you can look for to find somebody to help you in your recovery? We're also going to have a lot of emphasis on lifestyle of brain health. A major part of our brain healing and recovery is our lifestyle. And more, practitioners are recognizing the importance of sleep and nutrition and all of these things that we can do to create an environment for our brains to heal. I know I talk about this a lot on the podcast, but I don't really think it can be overemphasized because I've lived with brain injury for close to 15 years and it has made the most tremendous difference when I really began to see that there were things that I could practically do in my own life to help my brain to heal better. And there are things as simple as going to bed earlier. You know, it's like, it's not super, super complicated. Sometimes we make it complicated and, you know, you can make it as complicated as you want to, but you know, Dr. Michelle is going to talk a little bit about how do we kind of simplify that and going into what to look for in a practitioner, as I mentioned before. So if you missed last week's episode, make sure to go back and check out part one, as today is the second half of a conversation with her. Now I'll share a little bit about Dr. Michelle if you happen to be listening to this one first. She is a clinician at Resiliency Brain Health in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. She attended Parker University, where she earned her doctorate degree in chiropractic, her master's degree in clinical neurology and fellowship. She has a bachelor's in kinesiology. She has also completed additional courses in neurological studies with an emphasis on neuroplasticity, traumatic brain injury, post-stroke rehabilitation, vestibular dysfunction, dysautonomia, and more. So she's very passionate about the brain and very passionate about brain injury rehab. So it's going to be a great conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives podcast today. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. You can get involved and check out more of the online resources we have available at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Connect with survivors, caregivers, and family members through our Zoom meetings, our Facebook support group, or the Brain Injury Bible Study group. I remember what it's like to feel so alone with brain injury, and my goal with these groups is for you to know that you are not alone and to be able to connect with others going through similar circumstances. We are in this together. Now, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. So to give some context of what we're about to talk about, since we're starting here in part two, halfway through the conversation with Dr. Michelle, we're going to start off this conversation talking about lifestyle. So she's going to go right in and be talking about, hey, you really need to be doing all these things to help with your lifestyle. Now, this is coming after the conversation of last week where she's just talked about the importance of having grace for yourself and, you know, working through your recovery and, you know, doing the best that you can where you are. So that is kind of the context for what we're about to listen to. Some of these tips on lifestyle are going to maybe seem a little bit overwhelming, especially if you just had your brain injury. So I also wanted to add a little bit of a caveat that if you're in the acute stages of your brain injury or concussion and like you just had the injury, I just want to encourage you. So glad you're listening. You are doing what you can to educate yourself, and that is awesome. If you're just in survival mode every single day, it might seem overwhelming to have to make all these kinds of changes. But if you can just baby step it a little bit at a time, like adding more sleep a little bit sooner, that kind of thing will really help to further your recovery a lot quicker. And these are tools that I didn't know about when I first got injured. And so I just want to encourage you guys that, you know, you might hear and it might sound like a lot, but I just want to encourage you that if you can just do a little bit where you can with what you have, that will bring your brain to a better place of healing. So yeah. All right, let's go ahead and Dr. Michelle is going to start sharing with us about lifestyle, and we'll go into the second half of this interview.
If you are doing the best that you can with your lifestyle, and you've gotten into a routine of slowly taking away toxins, and I mean slowly adding more nutritious foods, and slowly getting into that educational part of yourself, and it's not something that you're believing that you need to have fixed from day one to the next day, I believe you're in a place that you're ready to get and commit to a treatment plan with someone. So that's the patients that I get that are in that same boat that are, hey, I'm not perfect with this, but I'm working on it. And I've been making substitutions and I've been learning about it and I've been enjoying it. I've been starting to see some changes. You're ready to commit to a treatment plan and it's going to be very successful because you're fueling yourself with thoughts, nutrition, movement, maybe spirituality as well, in a way that's going to be just promoting the brain health. If you are not in a place, if you are still running like a chicken with your head cut off, you need more guidance on how to do that. And please, please, people, be weary of lifestyle coaches that do not understand brain health just make sure that if you're working with someone, ask, you are more than willing to, not willing, but capable of asking, do you understand what it's like to work with a concussion patient? They need to, don't set them up for failure. It's like, and if you're a coach, don't set your client or patient up for failure if you guys can't mesh together. And so I am really big on trying to find referrals. I'm always trying to connect people, you know, because that is just something that's so important in being in this realm. And I've actually educated people and other doctors as well. That is something that really people need to understand. When you're in this community and you're a practitioner, you have to understand what it's like to work with a concussion patient.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I understand what you're saying when you say take out toxins and work on your nutrition and all that stuff. I have talked about on previous episodes, but if there's somebody listening who they're like, okay, but what do you mean? Like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that mean? Can you like explain that a little bit further?
Yeah. So I'm just going to make some generalized categories because it's just, you know, we can get into this a little too deep that we're going to end up doing 3 more hours, but
maybe I'll have to have you back on for another episode.
I'll do it. Sleep is a priority. So anything that's hampering your sleep, if you don't have good sleep hygiene, if you're scrolling through Instagram before bed, if you're taking caffeine too late, you know, there's plenty of resources out there that you can look and start putting a plan together as to what is sleep hygiene. So sleep hygiene is number one. Brain can't heal if it can't detoxify and rest. Food. What are you ingesting? If it's Cheetos, you're wrong. If you're skipping meals, you are wrong. So don't make it difficult on yourself. Is it processed? Don't eat it. Is it not processed? Eat it. And then start simple and then continue working on what is actually beneficial to you. Then you can start refining it and making it a little bit more specific. But you have to start with actually eating throughout the day. And I say this because everyone that's a concussion patient that comes here usually says, like, I do intermittent fasting. I'm like, great. Is that for health purposes or is it because you don't have an appetite? Big difference.
Or you forget to eat.
Exactly. So then I'm like, well, then that's not it. Because brains need fuel to be able to heal. And it's not always about fasting. The third thing is going to be your personal care products. You know, if you are constantly exposing yourself to chemicals, you're going to have to get away with it. Now, this is the tricky part. There's a lot of greenwashing that we don't have time to talk about today. But if you spend the time trying to educate yourself and you just do the best you can with what you have, you're already doing better than everyone else. And then lastly, movement of any kind, whether it be brisk walking, whether it be at home, whether it be you actually go to a gym. Just making sure you're moving, not overtraining, not undertraining, but just enough that you can get something. So if you have those four lifestyle things that you're currently working on and you can stair step them, people fail when they try to skip steps. Don't skip steps. Baby step it up and get to that point until it becomes a habit, a formation, part of your functional life. And if you need help from someone, get the guidance.
That's so good. Yeah. Thank you.
I hope I answered that.
Yeah, you did. You did. You know, and it's interesting because like I learned about all these things over time, you know, and I started integrating them. I never had somebody sit me down and say, this is what you should do in the way you just did. You know, it took me, I started to realize like, oh, like, there's endocrine disruptors and personal care products and there's all this stuff happening. And so like I started switching out all my makeup and hair products and deodorants and all that stuff. And And then I started to realize, you know, I wasn't having enough protein, just like things like that. And, you know, it takes time to recognize. And I already had made all those changes, and I had done like functional neurology with Dr. Schmo. And then I just now, knowing what I know about my hormones, it's like, yeah, all right, let's get you on some supplements. I'm on a plan to help with that. And it's like, I had already kind of made all the changes, gluten-free, dairy-free. Like, I'd done all these changes that I knew I needed to do. And I finally got to the point where I'm like, but I'm still not where I wish that I could be. And it's interesting, because if you would have asked me 4 years ago, I would have looked at the life I have now and been like, I never would have thought I would get there. Because I really had resigned myself to a life of limited energy. And I just thought that's how it had to be. And now I'm like, I actually have hope that I'm not going to be in pain every day, and that I can have energy. And like, I feel, you know, I have these good days that I'm like, okay, well, I got to figure out why I'm still having hard days and work through it. And I have all this motivation to get better that I never used to have. And there's tons of videos of me online talking from that time period. You know, there's tons, and I've been doing videos for so long. And so like, you could even go back and you could find a video of me in like 2017, 2018, 2016. That's when I started the weekly Hope After Head Injury videos on Facebook. I've been doing it every Tuesday for 6 years now.
That's awesome.
And so there are 30-minute videos of me every week for 6 years. And if you go back to the beginning, you'll hear me say a lot of things like, you just have to prioritize and pace yourself, and you just have to accommodate and cope. And like, I really thought that I wasn't going to be able to get better. And I had to go through having a acceptance of that. And then I was like too afraid to hope that things could ever be better. And my whole life changed from the start of when I got the dysautonomia diagnosis. And I was like, wait, there's something that can be done? Like, there's something else going on here. So it's been a long process for me personally. And my goal with the podcast is to eliminate that. Years, like literally, I don't want somebody else to spend a decade to find that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah.
It's hard.
But it's just like, my heart is so full of joy when I hear you say everything you just said, because I wish everyone would listen to this episode and just like, you know, hear you talk and be like, wow, you literally just outlined everything that took me like a decade to figure out. And you're just like, yeah, this is what you do. And it's just so cool
to
hear that.
I'm willing to help. I am out here and I am willing to help, because I also feel the same as you. I do not want people to take years and to try to figure themselves out. I mean, I know what it's like to fall and hit, you know, and stand back up and feel like you're up and get crashed down. And so if I can, I'm of the same mindset of you, if I can do anything that I can to help people just get to a point of starting and kind of cut that period of time of confusion and what to do, like, I am all for it. I am always all for it, because I understand that a little more than I would hope.
Well, especially if you've had dysautonomia and other things going on yourself, and you've had concussions. So
and I didn't even know it. You know, actually, I found out I had issues because I was doing a rotation at a clinic. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, balance testing, eye movement assessments, or in cognition are very big determinants of, you know, where to find out where your function level is with your brain. And so I actually was going in as an educational portion, and they said, hey, like, we need a volunteer, you know, we need someone so that we can teach and all that stuff. And they tested my balance and they tested my eyes, and they were terrible.
Wow.
And I mean terrible. So I had a friend kind of take me under his wing that was closer to finishing all of his degrees. And that's when he was like, we need to talk. This doesn't make sense to me. Like, you're very, you know, you're studious, you're doing well in school. Like, I struggled, but I still did very well, but struggled. But I was like, oh no, people don't struggle as much as I do. So you don't need to be in a cold, dark room telling everyone to shut up while you have a tiny little candle so that you can try to focus for the whole night. My roommate will tell you that, but, so that was a journey in itself. And, you know, I'm sure so many patients with the dysautonomia, I remember, you know, standing from my bed and kind of getting the blackout curtains and, you know, almost passing out and being like, oh, that's normal. I just stood up too fast. There's no such thing. Yeah.
If you stand up too fast, if you stand up and you feel like you're about to pass out and you get super lightheaded, get checked for dysautonomia.
Yeah. Please check your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks about high blood pressure. No one thinks about low blood pressure. Yep. Extremes are bad. Okay. Extremes are bad.
So good. Yeah. So good. I have a question for you.
Okay.
So if somebody's listening and they're going, okay, I need to find a practitioner, what things do you recommend that they maybe, like, a checklist, or like, if they're looking for a practitioner, what things should they look for somebody to have? Because I'd love that everyone could come see you, but that's probably not going to be possible. So if they're looking for somebody, what should they look for?
If you're looking for someone, I can tell you the things that we put out there so our communication style, so that people can know that we're the kind of people that offer these things. We always emphasize on putting testimonials. You know, the more transparent that practitioner is with what they do, the more you're going to be able to know if they can help you. Testimonials, look at their bios and their about pages. You know, see what kind of things, the things that you're looking for, obviously, are concussion, maybe post-stroke, vestibular, rehabilitation, hormone, blood work. Look at their services. If they offer nutritional counseling, if they offer lab work, if they offer rehabilitation of any kind, that would be great. You know, there is no one size fits all. So there may be a practitioner that does things very differently than me that you may actually get a lot of benefit from. And that's totally fine, because that's your journey. And that just happened to be a great relationship for you. At the end of the day, after you look at that, because I know in our website, we try to put as much information out there in articles and things for people to see, hey, if any of this resonates with you, we may be able to help you. So looking for, you know, degrees in chiropractic, specifically toward neurology, looking for, you know, physical therapists that specifically work for vestibular disorders, which they're very good at. You know, it just, you're going to have to also know that even if they look perfect on the picture, that conversation you have with them are going to be really three-pointed questions. You know, figure out your goals, tell them, can you help me with these goals, and what is the time frame? Secondly, you know, if I'm not feeling well, can I tell you this isn't working for me, or can we pivot? Like, does this program have the ability that if this isn't going a certain way, can we do something about it? You know, should that practitioner, because a big issue I see is that a lot of rehab practitioners don't do blood work. And so you're going to have to talk to that person and say, do you work with someone that can do my blood work? And do you guys talk? Do you guys talk to each other?
That's so important.
Yeah. So really understand, or if you have another practitioner, ask that other person, this is my practitioner, are you willing to talk to them about what I have going on? and this and this and that. So I think like when you're looking for a practitioner, yes, look at their website, see what they're all about. That's the easy part, right? The hard part is go with this list of questions, write them down if you need to, and really try to dissect. I have some people reach out to me and they're like, I need vision therapy, or I need balance therapy, or my cognition, my memories. So what at that point in time is your goal? Is your vision your goal? Is your cognition your goal? Work with someone so that you can say, hey, vision is my goal right now. Let's say I'm a practitioner. I go, okay, that's your goal. These are the things I need from you, patient, to know if that is truly the cause of your problems. Then we look into it. Then we have that conversation again. Hey, actually, I found all of these things. I'm not sure that vision should be your goal. This is what I think your goal should be. Are you okay with that? And if you're okay with that, and that communication and all that starts working and meshing together, then great, fantastic. If you're not okay with that, you need to find a different practitioner.
Yeah, that's good. That's great advice. Very well said. Thank you for sharing that. So we're getting to the end of our time together. And the last thing I always ask is, what are some words of hope and encouragement that you would have for any of our listeners today?
A lot of the times I get patients ask me, they're like, am I going to get dementia? Am I going to get Alzheimer's disease? Am I going to get neurodegeneration? That's a big fear amongst the concussion community, because you're not doing functionally well right now. Your hopes of the future are kind of gleam sometimes. And if you have a family history of it, that may be something that you're actually fearful of. But I think the complete opposite of that. I think that if you've had a concussion and you're listening to this podcast, it's not by mistake. It's because you are doing the right things for yourself and you're not living your life anymore unassuming that you have a brain. The best thing that happened to you with your concussion is that you realize you have a brain. Because let's be real, before we all get injured, we're like, wait, sleep matters? I can't just drink a Monster at like 11 p.m. and eat like power bars throughout my day. So the best thing that happened to you is that you're not slowly doing things in your life anymore to degenerate your brain. You actually know you have one. You want to take care of it. You're doing the things to take care of it. So my biggest words of hope and advice are, this can actually be a blessing if you want it to be.
I love that perspective. It's so good. Yeah, because you never think about your brain until you have to, until you're forced to. Yeah. And yeah, if you focus on your brain health and you're giving it the right things and, you know, you're working towards your concussion recovery, you're right. You have more of a mindset of a brain than the general population. And you're probably probably will end up with a healthier brain because you've worked towards it.
Yeah. The people that scare me are the ones that have never had any issues and continuously live their life in a way that is not conducive to brain health or health overall. And then all of a sudden, bam, things happen. And you're like, where did it come from? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to share so generously with us today, Dr. Michelle. So how can people get in contact with you if they would like to?
So if you go ahead and look for resiliencybh.com, BH comes from brain health. I'm looking at our phone number real quick because I should have it memorized, but you know, I'm not a jack of all trades. So Resiliency Brain Health, we are located in Coppell, DFW, Texas. So if you're a local Texan, please stop by. And our phone number is 469-790-7343. Our website has a contact us page. That is the best way to get a hold of us. We're constantly looking at that and replying. And we do give free consultations over the phone.
Amazing. And your Instagram is at the Brainfluencer. So yes. You guys can follow her there.
you can totally follow me there, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to work with me, don't DM me go ahead and just go to that.
Go through
page
her practice if you want to work with her. But if you just want to follow her and learn, you can follow
her.
Then
you
Instagram.
Can do that. Yes. Yeah. Because I, like you and I said beforehand, my Instagram, I love it, but it's just not a professional thing for me. And so I feel so bad when sometimes people reach out to me and it's more of a lifestyle thing. So if I need to put a boundary on social media for a while, I just won't check it. So it breaks my heart sometimes that people reach out and I haven't reached back out.
Yeah. Well, I have the same thing, but it's not a professional boundary. It's just a, I get too tired and overwhelmed. So I sometimes I'll go like weeks where I'll be good. I'll post a lot and then I'll just kind of not post as much. And you just got to give yourself grace for that. But thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.